Well, hello, friends. Here we are again. We are working on Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries number 23A. This is in the Paths of Higher Evolution compilation. We're on page 76 here. We have been talking about the third cosmic path, the path of the planetary logoi. On this path, cosmic etheric vision is gained. It seems that we're dealing with the cosmic etheric vision within the seven systems which form along with our solar system, the seven centers in a cosmic life with whom our solar logos is allied. We have a different method of expressing there, and it seems to point to the first of the ones who is greater than our logos, the Lord of the seven solar systems, of which ours is one. I tried to summarize just a little bit what we have been through, and here it is. We have in this third path a path the treading of which transforms Chohans into planetary logoi eventually after moving through some of the lower categories on the way to the full expression of the planetary logos. We have Betelgeuse as a heart center, affecting the heart center, Betelgeuse affecting the heart center, the heart center of the disciple, and Sirius, the head center. With the idea that Betelgeuse may be indeed a heart center within Orion. So Betelgeuse considered as a blind for Orion. We don't know whether Sirius is a head center or perhaps an Ajna center within the seven solar systems, of which ours is one. We have other stars to consider. But Betelgeuse may be considered as a blind for the entire constellation Orion. We have, it should be also mentioned here, Betelgeuse as a star of the second order, and our sun as a star of the fourth order. We have the theme, possibly, of cosmic vision in Orion, and cosmic vision, deva hearing, and psychic correlation are to be developed on this path. Note that cosmic vision, deva hearing, and psychic correlation between the self and not-self are to be developed on this path. We have Sagittarius as related to this path, and Sagittarius is a hunter, as is Orion. They're both the seeker. We have Jupiter as the place of training for those on this path who come from our planetary scheme, and we wonder about those where might be the place of training for those who take this path but come from other planetary schemes. We have representing this path the symbol that he could give us, a multicolored symbol. Artistry and creativity, the weaving of colors which veil the life, and attentiveness to the heavenly choir, in fact, conducting the heavenly choir as a director. We have looking for color and sound harmony. We have what is called here prismatic identification on this path. We also have in the symbol an indigo star, which can be considered, the symbol of many things, but certainly the symbol of the soul, or the symbol of the consciousness aspect, and of the second aspect of divinity, and a great sun of a warm blue behind the cross. The, let's see, how we, multicolored symbol, let's say a cross, the long arm of which is composed of the colors of the spectrum, seven, and the short arm of which is 12-fold, with colors of which we have as yet no idea. We have not seen the colors which are correlated with the 12. So we have the 19. We also have know that the approach to this path is in the department of the Mahachohan. Some mixture on this path of the second, third, and fourth rays seem to be here. So it's a path in which consciousness, soul, and creativity are blended. And here I mention again the three factors. So the material has not been easy. Not by any means, and we're trying to find our way through. The director of the choir, yes. And, there's one other factor that we have to speak of here, and it is divine psychology. Those who take this path are the divine psychologists. So let's put this here. Divine psychology and a very advanced form of psychology is required. Well, this gives sort of a summary of what we have learned about it so far. He's going to say here about another fact of interest to us concerning this path. The path is sometimes called the Lotus Path. We remember the lotus feet were mentioned. As it concerns itself with the construction of the logoic lotuses of the solar logoi. So every one of the solar logoi, whether sacred or non-sacred, is appearing in the form of a lotus. Right. So there are different numbers of lotuses for each one of the planetary logoi, different numbers of petals in the lotus is what I mean to say. So it concerns itself with the construction of the logoic lotuses of the solar logoi. And the school which prepares for this work, the schools which prepare for this work are called, in the mystic parlance of the adepts, the lotus lands. And the curriculum is termed at times the lotus sleep, as it involves a condition of complete negation where the form side of manifestation is concerned, and an entire abstraction. So, right. Okay, so these are called lotus lands. The lotus lands. And in the mystic parlance of the adepts, that's their name. And they work, the schools prepare for the construction of the logoic lotuses of the solar logoi. That means the construction of the lotuses by which the planetary logoi are represented. Okay, the curriculum here is sometimes called the lotus sleep. because it involves a condition of complete negation where the form side of manifestation is concerned and an entire abstraction. So, is this related to the third ray of abstraction, thus producing a type of solar samadhi? Okay, but it's the planetary logo, planetary logoi. Well, but it is the Chohans on this path which are experiencing the samadhi. Whilst this is being undergone, the adept functions in a form or vehicle which is the correspondence upon the plane of Atma to the Maya Varupa on the plane of mind. So the Maya Varupa is generally generated from the triadal levels, and we have, let's just say, a kind of abstraction in a higher atmic vehicle. Abstraction in a higher atmic vehicle. Okay. So this is, yes, one more factor which demonstrates a deep absorption, a deep preparation for the preparation for constructing of the logoic lotuses of the solar logoi, and there are many of these, and they are all different according to the numbers of petals. So the adept goes into a state on the higher atmic plane, I presume. Right, okay. And this is before, of course, before journeying to the cosmic mental plane. So still, there is work to do on the cosmic physical plane in the atmic vehicle. And I think I can do... I see it. In the atmic vehicle. Well, this seems to complete the section we are discussing in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. Now we open up to the path of the planetary logoi as it is discussed in the rays and the initiations. But let us see if there's something further we should be looking at here. I think so far we have the idea. This deep sense of abstraction relates to the abstract mind. Let's just say that this focus within the atmic vehicle relates to a higher sort of abstract mind. One which is experienced on the higher levels of the atmic plane and corresponds to the detachment of the soul consciousness from the personality consciousness on the higher levels of the mental plane. I'm not sure quite what a Maya Varupa on the plane of mind is. It seems to me that maybe, you know, we might say maybe the monastic permanent atom is much involved in the generation of a Maya Virupa in the usual sense, the usual type of Maya Virupa. But we have a much higher type of abstraction here for the candidate on this line. Now we come to our summary. The path of training for planetary logoi, the attributes, cosmic vision, deva hearing, and psychic correlation. And we remember what this is, the correlation between the self and the not self. The source of this stream of energy is Betelgeuse via the sign Sagittarius, or is it the constellation Sagittarius, or doesn't it really make any difference? The hierarchy involved, interestingly here, is the this is the hierarchy of Makara. We assume that this is the fifth manifested creative hierarchy. And we reviewed this the relationship here earlier. The method prismatic identification, so identification with all the qualitative threads of energy which must be woven into a vehicle for the demonstration or the manifestation of the solar-logoic monad and of his chakras, which are the planetary logoi. The symbol, a colored cross with a star at the center and backed by a blazing sun of warm blue. Not all of the factors are included here, surmounted by the Senza word. And let's see, does he tell us what this Senza word really is? Conveying to the initiated adept the name of one or other of the planetary schools in which this particular line of study is taken. And it will be, I suppose, this will be his school, the one in which he will study. Okay. Now I think we are ready to move a little bit farther. And the quality to be gained, cosmic etheric vision or septenary clairvoyance, etheric vision within the seven solar systems of which ours is one. Or the cosmic logos, which is allied with our solar logos. And this may be, as we've been trying to point out, a kind of solar plexus center in the one about whom naught may be said. I don't know whether it will be granted to have vision of all the seven major constellations. Not sure whether this type of vision extends to all the seven constellations in the one about whom, at first limiting this to our local cosmic logos, which of course is quite extensive. Right. Now we're going to go into the rays and the initiations. It is obviously impossible to say much about this path. Well, quite a bit has been said. Those masters who tread it find their way to the various schools for the training of planetary logoi, which are found within certain of the major planetary schemes as stated in Initiation Human and Solar. So training is in the major planetary schemes, those presumably of sacred planets, And let's just say that different ones of these schemes will be appropriate for those coming from different planets. For instance, those who are training along this path on this line who come from our particular planet train on the planet Jupiter, and that is not necessarily the case for those who come from every from different planets. So there are various schools now. More 8 schools are listed in the back of Esoteric Astrology, and also in the Treatise on Cosmic Fire, more than the 7 that have been mentioned in connection with the training. Apparently, training does not go on every planet. But we are told that Sanat Kumara takes certain pupils along this line and trains them, and that he is the logos of a non-sacred planet. Let's see where we are. And here we have the quotation which speaks of this kind of training. The adepts on our Earth planet who seek this path do so through the department of the Mahachohan, which works with the intelligence or mental aspects of manifestation. From this third department, they pass under the direct training of one of the Buddhas of activity, and in the final stages are personally taught by Sanat Kumara, functioning as the embodied planetary logos. So even though the schools for training are found mostly in connection with sacred planets, we do seem to have training going on our planet as well. We do not necessarily have a school for training of planetary logoi, but our planetary logos, probably before the candidate goes off to Jupiter for further training, does offer some sort of training, of course, about which we can know nothing. So, certain of the major planetary schemes, as stated in Initiation Human and Solar, they are necessarily few in number, and a small group of them remains to study in our particular planetary enterprise under Sanat Kumara. Well, if you look at the number of planets, they are not great. The number of sacred planets and even the usual non-sacred planets amount only to 10, with 2 additional hidden or veiled by the sun and the moon, and then there are maybe, you know, a little bit more than 100 more actual planets in our solar system. That is relatively few when you think of those others who must take the different paths. So let's go back just a little bit here. Those masters who tread this path find their way to the various schools for training of planetary logoi, which are found within certain of the major planetary schemes as stated in Initiation Human and Solar. And these schools is what it is. The schools are few in number, and a small group of these types of students remains to study in our particular planetary enterprise under Sanat Kumara. This they do after making their decision and passing through the door on the periphery of our planetary ring pass knot. Okay, so they are in an abstracted state, it seems, and are abstracted from our planet, so it seems. Okay. Abstracted. Then, out of incarnation and working through the medium of the higher telepathy, they receive instruction of a nature incomprehensible to us from the members of the council chamber at Shambhala, and primarily from 2 of the Buddhas of activity. Remember, these Buddhas of activity were planetary logoi in the previous solar system. So they are out of incarnation. Now, what does it mean? Are they out of incarnation? Yeah, it seems that they must be out of incarnation with respect to the lower three worlds. There is still something that has to be done with respect to the atmic vehicle. Having learnt the technique and having passed certain tests, they move into the planetary life of Venus, our Earth's alter ego, and there they complete their training as far as our solar system can give it, finding their way eventually to the cosmic mental plane. So this is important. Of these Chohans, I guess that's what they are, remain with Sanat Kumara and thence, after instruction, pass to Venus. The others, it seems, pass directly to Jupiter. So it's only the ones who remain here on our planet under instruction from Shambhala and from Sanat Kumara who go to Venus. They move into the planetary life of Venus. This is interesting. And there they complete their training. But the other ones, it seems, as far as our planet is concerned, are found traveling to the planet Jupiter. Let's see if we can find this someplace here. Jupiter, yes. And here it is. There are, as already has been said, seven such schools. And candidates for this path from our planetary scheme are transferred to the inner round and from thence to Jupiter's scheme. Let's just say that this is a different path than the one for those who remain for teaching on our planet outside its ring pass knot and are instructed from Shambhala and by Sanat Kumara eventually. And thence to Venus for completion. So one path to the inner round and thence Jupiter. So let's put that in. One path of training. Of training to the inner round and thence Jupiter. The other in our planetary scheme. And instructed from Shambhala by two of the Buddhas of activity who have been planetary logoi previously and by Sanat Kumara himself and thence to Venus for completion of the instruction. So this is an interesting difference, and probably the destination of the two different types is different as well. All right. And there they complete their training on Venus, and as far as our solar system can give it. In other words, the implication is there are other places where the training can be furthered. Okay. So, and they eventually find their way onto the cosmic mental plane. Two things should be borne in mind in connection with this abstruse subject. First, these masters work primarily with the psyche, or the soul aspect of the solar system, and you say not with the objective aspect. They are occupied with the subtler expressions of consciousness, with occult impressibility, let's make sure that is kept, And that acute sensitivity which produces instant and accurate registration of all soul reactions within any particular planetary life, their own and that of others, presumably. These kingdoms are not necessarily identical with those found on Earth. Now I'm trying to see whether that is correct. These kingdoms, now we're on page 406 of the Rays and the Initiation, so let's go there and make sure that nothing has been left out. Yes, that is correct. It is correct how it is being stated. So they work primarily with the psyche, okay, with sensitivity, or the soul aspect within the solar system. The soul aspect, should we say, and not so much, not yet so much, the spirit aspect. They are dragons of wisdom and connected principally with the second aspect of divinity. They are occupied with the subtler expressions of consciousness, with occult impressibility and that acute sensitivity which produces instant and accurate registration of all soul reactions within any particular planetary life, presumably first their own and then, as they advance, presumably the soul reactions within the planetary lives of their fellow planetary logoi, I would suppose. These kingdoms are not necessarily identical with those found on Earth, but they are, in all cases, well, the kingdoms within a particular planet are not necessarily identical with those found here on Earth, but they are, in all cases, vast groups of living forms which are manifestations or expressions of the nature of any particular planetary logos. In other words, the kingdom is adapted to his nature, though it has many things in common with the kingdoms on the other planets. For instance, the human kingdom having points in common in the different planetary schemes. The masters taking this training are not occupied with individual states of consciousness within any group. It seems like a very broad consciousness. It is the consciousness of the whole and its responsiveness to cosmic impacts that engages their attention. So the state of isolated unity, is required. They are not, if I might so express it, interested in any individual unit of any kind. And of course, this would be the case with our own planetary logos, or in its individual reactions, responsiveness, or susceptibility to impression. They are only concerned with those higher processes of identification which indicate an advanced state of evolutionary development. So the condition of the psyche of the whole is what concerns them. They think in wholes. Their work is to further progressive development of identification. And this is interesting. This is similar to the work done on the path of Earth service, the first cosmic path. They begin with the identification of the monad with our planetary sphere, within our planetary sphere with the purpose and will of the Lord of the world. As he is a planetary logos, and they are seeking to learn to be so. So they begin with the identification of the monad within our planetary sphere with the purpose and will of the Lord of the world, and then proceed, as their training produces the desired capabilities with greater identifications within the solar system, so eventually identification with the purpose and will of the solar logos, presumably. And beyond that, we need not proceed, and maybe as well they do not proceed. But identification is a big factor, and in order for them to become the true psychologists, you know, as true divine psychologists, they require this capacity for identification with all souls within their influence and with others spread throughout the solar system. Their whole training is concerned with the planetary, systemic, and cosmic building of the Antikorana. So you kind of wonder whether Mercury is involved in their training. For it is via the Antikorana that spirit works, that the life processes are controlled, and the will of all developing aspects of deity function. Well, so they work down the Antikoranas and must construct aspects of the Antikoranas which are not yet constructed. It is via the Antikorana that spirit works, that life processes are controlled. So the whole training, and of course here they are involved in furthering the development of the lotuses, the egoic lotuses, or the planetary lotuses, and I suppose these two factors are related, the work with the Antikorana and the development of the planetary lotuses, which are really connected to the solar logos as chakras. For it is via the Antikorana that spirit works. So the planetary systemic they are building towards the solar logos. And eventually they are involved in building the Antikorana to the planetary logos, learning of his purpose and plan, thence to the solar logos, and perhaps eventually to the cosmic logos. And always learning how to receive with accuracy impression. For it is via the Antikorana that spirit works, that life processes are controlled, and that the will of all developing aspects of deity function. Forget not that relating our planet to the planet Venus is a planetary Antikorana, and passing thence to the heart of the sun, and later to the cosmic mental plane. So here we are again, wondering where the heart of the sun will be found. This version of the heart of the sun will be found either on the higher cosmic ethers or on the cosmic astral plane, because the next step is to the cosmic mental plane. So presumably, there is some center here with respect to the solar logos that is found on the cosmic astral plane, and is sometimes called the subjective sun. There are rainbow bridges carrying the sevenfold energies of the seven rays from planet to planet, and, you know, in this way, there can be representatives of the various planets on our planet, for instance, and on all the others. So the Kumaras and the Chain Lords and the Seven Spirits before the throne on any planet benefit from these Antikaranas, which carry the sevenfold energy. But also energy is carried from system to system and from plane to plane on cosmic levels. So all is interconnected via septenates. And it is over these bridges that the will of the related spiritual identities is projected, producing that synthesis of effort which is distinctive of cooperative systemic life. So when will is projected via an antikarana, the result is synthesis and coordinated activity. So the antikaranas are required for cooperation. Are required for cooperation of higher and lower and of parallel lives. Right, I think maybe I should not write so much. It kind of slows me down in talking. But at least it's somewhat nailed down, and when dealing with difficult material, one wants to be a little bit reminded. Septenates are here, and antikaranas are here as well. The work of the Master in Training from our planet is, among other things, to unfold within themselves not only sensitivity to systemic purpose, but the ability to transmit that purpose to the Council Chamber at Shambhala. So, eventually, they will be in a superior position to Shambhala, so it seems, if they are required or they are relied upon to transmit systemic purpose to Shambhala. They have a place in the solar system which receives solar logoic purpose. They have, yes, they have an extraplanetary function, in other words. They have, in an extraplanetary sense, a definite correspondence with and relation to the group of Nirmanakayas within our planet who work in contemplative activity with the Antikarana, which connects hierarchy with Shambhala and humanity with hierarchy. So these adepts work in a higher sense with an with extra planetary antikaranas. There are three kinds of antikaranas listed here. One type of antikarana transmits from the solar logos to the planetary logoi. Another from the from Shambhala to the hierarchy, and another from hierarchy to humanity. And they will have a rather high destiny here if, as planetary logoi, they are going to be able to transmit the will of the solar logos. Well, as eventual planetary logoi, they will transmit the will of the solar logos to directing centers within the planet they inform, and perhaps to other planets also. So they have, in an extraplanetary sense, a definite correspondence with and relation to the group of Nirmanakayas within our planet who work in contemplative activity with the Antikarana, which connects the hierarchy with Shambhala. So they are intermediaries here. Always they are intermediaries. To the directing centers like Shambhala within the planetary logos. So these adepts become intermediaries. And the planetary logoi, being conditioned as dragons of wisdom by largely by this relating ray, the second ray, whatever their ray may be, serve as intermediaries. Very different information being given here than in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. It's so good to look at it all together. So these rainbow bridges carry the sevenfold energies of the seven rays from planet to planet, from system to system, and this involves involving the seven solar systems, of which ours is one, first of all, because these are the local stars, from plane to plane on the cosmic levels, just as we, with our Antikarana, have to be able to move from the monastic permanent atom to the Buddhic permanent atom to the atmic permanent atom and thence to the monad. That is plane to plane in a systemic sense. And the greater Antikaranas move from plane to plane in the cosmic sense. It is over these bridges that the will of the related spiritual identities is projected, the greater to the less, presumably. The greater will to the lesser will, producing that synthesis of effort which is distinctive of cooperative systemic life. The Antikaranas are required for planetary and systemic cooperation. These are the lines of communication between different entities, and they require sensitivity to psyche, which the planetary logoi are mastering. Now you kind of wonder, do not the solar logoi master the same? Have they not been at one point planetary logoi? You wonder about the different paths, because the planetary logoi take the ray path, but you wonder whether those on the ray path may not transition to the path of the solar logoi. There seems to be so many possible methods of interchange in considering the destiny of these paths and their intersections. All right. As planetary logoi, when their own time comes, and let's just say this will be later, because they will have to inform smaller spheres of life before they become planetary logoi. These masters will be concerned with the registration of the purpose and expressed will of some solar logos, and it may not be ours at all. So this touches on the question how closely any monad must stay related to its originating solar logos. There are definitely two different ways of looking at this, the kind of freedom of the monad within the universal system, or the tying of the monad, the relating of the monad indissolubly to its chain of emanation. And there are problems to be worked out along this line. Anyway, and this, of course, makes you wonder again, will the Master per se, and of its own, in his own monadic right, become a complete planetary logos, or will there be what I've called the amalgamated monads, or the amalgamation of the monads? And I think I'm going to amalgamation of monads. Okay. Amalgamation of monads. I wonder if anybody knows what I'm talking about here. The whole idea that identities can actually fuse and become one, and then that new identity will take over all that had been the province of the previous identity. But anyway, that's not going to be one that we're going to solve overnight here. These masters will be concerned with the registration of the purpose and express will of some solar logos, and we have heard the term, have we not, earlier in the Raisin and the Initiation, the term, as it's called, registrants of the purpose and custodians of the will. The first is a higher term, and it's a nirmanakayak term, registrants of the purpose, and these adepts become, in their training, progressively, registrants of a higher purpose. It is like any chakra. A chakra has to carry out the will of the center of life, which directs energy through the chakras. And it must not be allowed to run free and irregulated of the intention of the directing life. So these logoi then will, they will then, through the planetary and systemic antikarana, supervise the gradual evolutionary impartation of that will, which now is theirs, because they have identified with it, to all the forms to which they function in any particular planet for which they have assumed responsibility. So the solar logoi are lions of cosmic will. I wonder if I made a plural there. Let's see. Of cosmic will? Not really. So let me do that. Lions of cosmic will. And we'll make a plural out of that. Lions of cosmic will. Different solar logoi. They're all as if lions. So the solar logoi are lions of cosmic will. And the planetary logoi are being trained along this line, are being trained to become so. You see, one of the great problems is how many entities are there in cosmos on the different levels. And it seems a pyramidal structure where there are fewer entities on the higher planes, the increasingly higher planes of cosmos. So the amalgamation of the entities seems required. And I'm going to put that one down too. amalgamation of the entities. Amalgamation of the entities. I'll put it that way. Entities. There we go. Okay. Amalgamation of the entities. This is what we may be looking at in order to produce fewer entities on the higher levels, because they're always more and more inclusive. As long as monads are considered to be granular and non-permeable and non-fusible, then we will never be able to see the greater entities function as one. So monads are fusible and not granular. The granularity, I think, is simply a misperception. So anyway, they function, they will then be able to participate in the gradual evolutionary impartation of the higher will. That's what is the function of a planetary logos. Okay. This definitely involves working with the soul aspect and with the unfoldment of conscious responsiveness and sensitive reaction to all the higher impressions. And also, I suppose, as it is said, not a sparrow falls. So we have a sensitivity to the higher impressions and presumably to all states of soul within the ring pass not under supervision. Presumably. Okay, the first thing that we had to keep in mind was that these masters work primarily with psyche. These adepts work with psyche. Second, these masters are the directing builders and creators, eventually, of all forms of planetary life, forms embodying qualities and intentions as yet undreamed of by us. It seems a blend of the second aspect of divinity, working with psyche, and the third aspect of divinity, working with the creation of forms for the embodiment of quality. They have developed in themselves a perfect synthesis of these two energies of Atma-Buddhi. Okay, well, that's how it is. Or spiritual will and spiritual love. I suppose the spiritual will is what makes the form building possible. As in the department of the Manu, there is the creation of the forms which can hold the life. They are Atma Buddhi. They are, in a way, the Great Bear and the Pleiades in this respect. They have developed in themselves a perfect synthesis of the two energies, Atma Buddhi, of spiritual will and spiritual love, completely unified and energetically active in a comprehensive condition seldom attained by any other group of masters in training. What a perspective Master DK has on this. You know, he knows his fellow masters and those in training, and knows their accomplishments. So the Atma and the Buddhi, the Great Bear and the Pleiades, and the influences of those great sources are balanced in this type of being. They are the directing builders and creators eventually of all forms of planetary life. So they really, they are experts in both consciousness and form. And this, of course, connects them with the two great intimate constellations. And interestingly enough, they do receive streams of energy from both the Great Bear and from the Pleiades, that is, once they are planetary logoi. Once this entific fusion has occurred. I think this is really an interesting philosophical question about the amalgamation of the monads. But anyway, we proceed. It must be realized that the Buddhas of activity, of whom there are only three on our planet, are similarly active. But what of the esoteric Kumaras? Let's just put them in capitals. They are active love wisdom. For a complete synthesis of active intelligence, active love, and active will. Active will as well. Atmabuddhi, but we have not had Manas mentioned. They are active love wisdom. Maybe wisdom carries the will aspect. The masters on this third path will therefore someday complete their training for planetary logoi by attaining the status of Buddhas of activity and will for a period serve in that capacity in some planetary scheme before taking control and guidance of their own body of manifestation. And yet, interestingly, the Buddhas of activity are said to have been planetary logoi of a monastic kind in the previous solar system. I believe it was the previous solar system. Certainly they were Buddhas of activity, or at least they were planetary logoi before becoming Buddhas of activity and not really fully expressing through a planet in this solar system. So is it one master, one Buddha, or a number of masters in one Buddha? The training of these masters on the third path might be described as an intensive study of a most exalted form of the science of impression. You know, a much higher type of spiritual telepathy. The supreme task of a planetary logos is to impress his sevenfold body of manifestation via its seven states of consciousness and the seven centers with his will and intention. Okay. Well, we are at that point where we can say that this is the end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 23A, Paths of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 84, and beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 23B, Paths of Higher Evolution Compilation, not Commentaries, Compilation, page 84.